You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, and welcome to another fabulous episode of Dear Multi-Hyphenate. I'm your host, Michael Kushner, and I'm so excited to have you for this episode featuring the incredible, amazing, hysterical Judy Gold. Ugh, she is legendary. And last night I saw her show Yes, I Can Say That, which is currently playing at 59 East 59 Theaters through April 16th. And it was hysterical and thought-provoking and emotional. The show is directed by BD Wong. It's so fabulous. First of all, you know, Jews will understand this. We all have aunt friends or friend aunts or that are like our parents' siblings, but we're not blood related. But they're basically our aunts or uncles. And she looks like my friend Aunt Carrie. So I feel like I've known her my whole life. But then, you know, she's just the way that she embodies experiences. It feels so relatable. And so, of course, as an actor standpoint, it's a great performance, but, you know, the way that she tackles cancel culture and political correctness and silencing comedians and editing comedians is pretty spot on. I mean, there's a lot to take away from the show. It is a literal buffet of points of views. Some that I immediately agreed with, some that required, you know, provoked thought within me that I've been thinking since I saw it yesterday. So you'll laugh, but then you'll also, you know, you'll think a lot. And it's pretty important, I think, especially in this episode, we talk about comedy, you know, saving lives and how it has to do with the Holocaust and survival in the Holocaust. And if we get rid of, you know, humor now, we'll never survive. So, you know, if you can see the show off Broadway, 59 East 59 Theaters, you can get tickets at 59east59.org. The show runs through April 16th, 2023. In this episode, we discuss a lot of stuff, what it means to be Jewish, Judy's off Broadway show, Yes, I Can Say That. Why you have to take certain jobs as, you know, performers and writers and producers, stupid politicians, food, of course, empathy, and why comedy is important. So a little bit about Judy Gold. Judy Gold is an actor, playwright, performer, comic, activist, among many other things, and has stand-up specials on HBO, Comedy Central, and Logo. She was a part of Netflix Stand Out, an LGBTQ+ celebration. She is the author of Yes, I Can Say That, When They Come for the Comedians, We Are All in Trouble, a critically acclaimed book about free speech and cancel culture, which debuted as the number one comedy release on Amazon and was featured in the New York Times Book Review. Judy is also the host of the hit podcast Kill Me Now with Judy Gold. Judy has been on so many TV shows. You definitely know her from something. I mean, there's City on a Hill. There's FX's Better Things. There's The First Lady. There's Life and Beth. There's Girls 5 Eva. Awkwafina. Friends from College. Search Party. I mean, literally, this woman, whenever I turn on the TV, she is on. She is on my screen. But, you know, her career spans so much more than what I'm listing. She is truthfully incredible, and I'm a huge fan, and I'm so excited to have shared the space with her. If you want to read more, head to my Instagram. You'll learn more about Judy Gold. Also follow her on Instagram and TikTok and Twitter at Judy Gold, which is JEWDYGOLD. Yeah, that's pretty much it. If you love this episode, please drop a review or rating or whatever you want to do on Apple Podcasts or wherever you rate this podcast, and download the episode. And, you know, follow on Instagram at TheMichaelKushner or at DearMultiHyphenate, and let me know what you think of these episodes and who you want to see. Next episode is going to be, and I never really tease who I release next, but I have the fabulous Billy Porter on Dear Multi-Hyphenate as my next guest. So anyway, thank you to Broadway Podcast Network. Thank you all for listening. Please rate, comment, subscribe, follow, do all that good stuff. Follow Judy and enjoy the episode.
What kind of room are you in? I see a light. I see clothing. I'm trying to figure out. I see artwork.
I'm in my photo studio up in Harlem.
Oh, wow. Do you do headshots and stuff?
I do. I'm a headshot and portrait photographer here in the city. I also photograph actors prepping for the roles on Broadway.
I need to make an appointment with you.
I would love it if you came. We got good food.
I know.
We are a great area, and a lot of people don't. I don't know why Harlem is not on the list of people for everyone wants to go to, you know,
Brooklyn,
Astoria. And I'm like, come to Harlem. It's the most affordable prices you'll get in Midtown. In Manhattan.
Best sized apartments.
I have a 2-bedroom, and I'm in one of the bedrooms, and it's my photo studio.
It's huge.
I could do cartwheels in here. And mine as well. Well, my pussy.
Yes, I could tell.
What's your cock like?
I
feel like we're on Grindr. You know, this is what my conversations are like on Grindr.
Is that how they talk? What's your cock like?
What's your cock like? If you could give me 3 adjectives to describe your penis, what would that be?
Is that how you talk to each other on Grindr?
No.
Oh, all right.
But I mean, I feel like I would probably,
but you would ask that if it was inappropriate, if you thought no. Yeah,
I'm more about like, what did you have for lunch today?
Same. Jewy. What are you? Yeah.
What Jewy? What ENT do you go to?
Right. That's very important.
Gastro. What gastro?
Gastro.
Do you go to?
Also periodicals that you read. Very important.
Extremely important. And what shows do you see?
Right. Also, food. How important is it on a scale of 1 to 1? Because it's the most important thing. All right. I'm so gay, but I did have
it. How gay are you?
Oh, beyond. It's been, you know, I knew when I was 3, but I had a boyfriend in college because, you know, our generation of gays, being gay was so the end of your life. You had to try it. Like, you know, I mean, there are gold stars my age, but not a lot. And I had this boyfriend, and he ate only for sustenance. He had no enjoyment in food. And I was like, I can't, like, what is that? Like, what is that? Like, that's all I fucking think. That is the joy of joys.
But he wasn't Jewish. He was Jewish. I don't believe
it. He would have like a cheese sandwich with nothing on it. He would drive in the car long distances without the radio on. Like, really?
No, he's okay. He's Jewish, but he's also a serial killer.
Yeah, exactly.
That's okay. He needs therapy. Yeah.
I need people who love to eat. Okay.
I love that you said that about like you know when you back because I love that you were saying how growing up there weren't many, you know, out gay people. And you know, my mother calls me, she, first of all, we, my fiance and I get our marriage license, and she goes, so I went on social media earlier, is there something you're forgetting to tell me? And I was like, yeah, we got the marriage license, nothing was signed, you're not missing anything, don't worry. And I got upset with her because I was like, I feel like you're making this about me, about you. She calls me and she goes, and she's teary eyed, and she goes, so many people never saw this, and so many people never thought it would happen. And to me, it was important. And I would have liked to know because I saw so many people not ever get to experience. And then I was like, you know what? There are battles, there are hills to die on, there are battles to lose, and that's not one of them. I was like, I have a mother that is so supportive, and you know, there's so many people that would kill to have a conversation with their parents.
Oh my God.
Like you that. Know, so I let her have her moment.
Yeah. It's just, I mean, during my generation to watch these, I mean, this is getting sad, but it's true. Watching these people die and that had nothing to do with their families. Their families had shunned them. And then they come at the very last day and claim all of their things and their apartment and don't even let their partners come to their funerals or you know, that we had no legal rights. And that's, I mean, unfortunately, that was the impetus for equality,
right?
This horrible, deadly pandemic. And that Reagan, you know, everyone's like, oh, Reagan. He couldn't even say the fucking word.
No.
And in when I was researching my book, I was listening to White House briefings where journalists, men, are asking him about it. And there's a one journalist who asks Reagan, so there's this new acquired immune deficiency that's hitting gay men, and do you have anything? And asks a question, a general question about it when it was first reported. And one of the other journalists is like, why, you have something to tell us, Jim? I mean,
Jesus.
It was unbelievable. And there's a lot of young gays, you know, just like, know your history, know how we got to this place.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're trying to ban critical race theory or any history in these schools. Do your due diligence, especially if you're a minority.
And yesterday, what, in Tennessee, they're working so hard to ban drag queens and, you know, what. And then we have someone go in with an AK-57. Is that no, an AK-15? I don't even know.
Right.
The numbers.
Yeah.
And then, you know, six people. And it's like, that's our priorities are
fucked up.
So fucked up.
But do you see how they also, you know, there was a little bit of, oh, the person's trans, so, or identifies as trans, and that they're leaning on to that, you know, like, no, this is a fucking, you sick fucks. You're a bunch of sick fucks that you think it's okay for kids to go to school and have to learn how to survive a fucking mass shooting. You stupid fucking shove them up your ass. Shove your fucking assault weapons up your ass.
That would bring them pleasure though. So let's,
yeah, that's true.
They're all closeted anyway.
Yeah.
You know? So that's going to bring them pleasure.
Yeah.
I was on TikTok and I saw this teacher demonstrating this fold out room. I don't know if you saw that. It's tucked away against the wall and there's a bar and they pull it out and it's a safety room in case there is an active shooter.
What the fuck? Oh my God. Can you just imagine sending your kid to school? I can't even imagine it. I'm so glad my kids are older.
Well, so my book just came out and I'm starting a book tour and I'm going hitting South Florida first. And
what's the book?
How to Be a Multi-Hyphenate in the Theater Business, Conversations, Advice, and Tips with Dear Multi-Hyphenate.
Oh, I love that. I, you know, my book, yes, I can say that, When They Come for the Comedians, We're All in Trouble.
Yep.
That book, I didn't have a book tour because it came out during COVID. And guess what? 98% of books that came out in 2020 sold fewer than 5,000 copies. There you go.
Well, now you're doing, you're being smart, right? Now that book of the same name is now a play off Broadway.
Yes, I can say that. It is not the full book, but it's a stage show and B.D. Wong directs it and it is very personal. He really brought this thing to life. I wrote it with my friend Eddie Sarfati, and BD really, I just, he is a fucking genius. Mm-hmm. Have you seen it?
No, not yet. I'm coming.
When are you coming?
I don't know. I need to come soon. I'm gonna get tickets.
It's only up until April 16th. You better get your fucking ass there.
I will. I'll get my Jewish hungry ass to that, yeah, to 1590s 59. That's where it is.
Yeah.
Which I love that space so much. I've seen many shows there.
Yes, it's a good space.
It's a great space.
Why did they name it 59E59? Like, you're theater people. I know that's the address, but, right, but you know.
There's sometimes usually, it could just be called like 59, like just 59. You're going to show it 59
theaters or the theater where there's no place to go afterwards. That could be to get a drink.
It's theater so true.
Where lunch is $47. Okay. Mm-hmm.
No. It's, you know, instead they made it, and we are actors. So it's like they made it a vocal warm up. 59 is 59. Yeah. You got to spit it out. But, you know, what, since you aren't your multi-hyphenate, what is a multi-hyphenate to you? What does that mean?
I think a multi-hyphenate is someone who branches out, who, I think multi-hyphenates are fearless and are more likely to go out side of their comfort zone. I think multi-hyphenates are risk takers. And I think that in this show fucking business, you have to reinvent yourself so many times. The attention span is zero. And it's also, you have to also realize that most people who hire actors or any kind of performer or artist will remember you from the first time they saw you.
Mm-hmm.
And that will stick in their head. And so reinventing oneself is a necessary evil, but you have to branch out as you grow as a person, and let your art grow. You can't, multi-hyphenates do not sit on their laurels. They're not residual people, you know? It's, all right, we could take the Billy Joel model. Mm-hmm. Billy Joel is a great musician, an artist, like just amazing. But he has been living off his body of work for what, 30 years? I don't know. People still want to, you know, that's the beauty about music. You want to hear these songs over and over again and see them perform. But most people don't have the luxury of that, especially comedians who, you know, the world changes, words change, and theater people, you know, playwrights. It's so important that people's stories are told. And it is, if you have a voice that people are going to listen to, I think, and a lot of people don't agree with me. Oh, I don't want to hear what you have to say about blank. Well, you know what? I have lived a life as a woman, as a gay, as a Jew, as a same-sex parent, and I have a story to tell. And my opinion is valid.
Mm-hmm.
And we have legislators who are dumb, who've never read a fucking book, who are liars, conspiracy theorists, just ignorant fucks who make laws that cause people to suffer, mm-hmm, and incite violence. And so, you know, to tell artists who have changed the world, you can learn about history through art, through every kind, through photography, through oil painting, through everything, through art history and music history. And that's a way to learn about what has happened. Food is, you're a Jew. We all have different recipes because we've been kicked out of every fucking country. So we've got, you know, it's a way of, I mean, the word liberal is a big word. It's, it means encompassing everything, and I think that's what multi-hyphenates do.
Damn, I'm obsessed with you. I say all the time, you know, I have your Queerty review up because I was reading the press that was on your website, and something I always say about multi-hyphenates, and I love that you used Billy Joel, a straight white man,
right,
who I do believe is Jewish, but, you know.
Yes, he is Jewish. He is Jewish.
But multi-hyphenates are made primarily of people that have been decentered or othered. So right. Members of the LGBTQIA plus community, people of color, trans people, you know, who Jews, because our stories are not centered. We are the ones that have to tell them all the time. We're the ones that are constantly having to write them. Like, look at Lin-Manuel Miranda, right? He wrote Hamilton in the Heights.
Right, of course.
You know, look at Mel Brooks, right? Since 1949, since he was, you know, that's when he started writing and producing and directing.
Right.
And then look at all the stories he's told, you know. And then we have Whoopi Goldberg. We have Shekinah Nafak on Difficult People, right? And Shekinah and I are dear friends from creating Musical Theater Factory together in New York. And she is an iconic multi-hyphenate in the industry. It's people that don't – that are certainly from communities that don't normally get to tell their stories.
That are not represented. Right. And so at some point, if you are one of those marginalized, othered people or some sort of outsider, and you have a voice that's reaching multitudes of people, you want to use that voice in a way that is going to help society, make people feel less alone, have bigots reconsider their beliefs. You know, this is all a part of it. So when people are like, oh, fucking Oscars, shut the fuck up. We tell people stories.
We have, if we're given that space, we have a responsibility to right. to use that space. And that's what I love about how you took your book, Yes, I Can Say That, and turn it into a different way in which you can tell the story. It's like, even if, like, what you just said about how your book came out during the pandemic and people weren't buying books at that time, right? Because of what was going on in that moment. Like, even if that was an impetus to sort of like get your ass on stage and tell the story in a different way, that's incredible because it's socially responsible. It's like you going, it's like you saying, like, I have this incredible platform, right? And you do, you're amazing and we love you. And you're saying, okay, well, my book fell in that strange time. How else can I keep the story, the momentum, not follow my laurels, not follow my residuals, and keep the momentum going? And then you take a collaboration with BD Wong and you go to 5090s, 59 theaters, and you open off Broadway. That is a multi-hyphenate to me.
Yeah, that's definitely a multi-hyphenate. And I've never had laurels to be able to sit on or rest on.
Laurel would be lucky to have you sit on her.
I mean, I have been like, I just a few months, you know, but I've never had the luxury of saying, you know what, I'm going to take a break just live, just have a life. I have two kids. I, for most of that, was not with my ex. We broke up when they were 5 and 10. So, and yeah, it's not been easy. I just never got that one break that would have left me financially stable enough to say, okay, let me step back and figure out what I want to do. And plus, my brain doesn't stop working anyway.
Right.
And I'm so fucking aggravated all the time about what the hell's going on in this fucking country. So, yeah.
I feel like you are, though, a representation of the worker bee, which I once had this conversation with Beth Level, Tony winner Beth Level, about the worker bee.
Her.
Love Beth. And the worker bee. and she is a worker bee. And there are certain people in our industry that are worker bees that show up, that are constantly working, that find their happiness through work. I'm certainly one of them. And I feel like you are one of them as well by constantly creating. I mean, thinking about this, right? Like I grew up watching the Rosie show, the Rosie O'Donnell show, and you were a writer on that, right? In 1994.
Writer and producer, bam.
Okay, multi-hyphenate right there in the same project, writer, producer, bam. Loved the Rosie O'Donnell show. That's how I got so much access to musical theater
right. In
so many different ways. And yeah. My word, how that show was so helpful to so I could cry about that show. I would come home from kindergarten and first grade and it would be on TV by the time I got home. And I loved
like I had the Mike Douglas show, but it wasn't the Rosie O'Donnell show.
Right. And so I had the Rosie show and then you came onto my screen in a different way, in a very different way. And that was those shows where you would talk about funny clips, you know, those. And they
Yeah. Well, I did on HBO, I did the at the multiplex where I'd interview people coming out of the theaters. And then I did the World's Dumbest.
Right. Yeah. World's Dumbest. And I loved it because it was those shows that, you know, that. Just when the world got too much, right?
Because right.
that was
yeah.
for that for me. That was the Bush administration when those shows were coming out, which was difficult. And gay rights was not a thing yet. And I was in middle school and high school, jumping on desks, talking with, screaming at people, being like, "Why should I not have the same rights that you do?" And so those shows really helped just turn it off.
Right.
And so you have been, and I know that you're saying that you haven't had something that like that you can just go, all right, I'll take a step back, I'll chill.
Right.
But you have been your voice and your perspective and your chutzpah has been an inspiration to me and so many other artists because you show up. You always show up. You tell the stories. You get the job done. You make us laugh.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. I so appreciate that. And it's so funny because my representatives are like, no, you can't do that. Nope, you're not doing that. No more free shit. No more this, no more that. And it's like, you know, that I don't have the money to give these organizations so I can give them my time. I believe in tikkun olam, which is to heal the world, which is the basic tenet in Judaism.
Mm-hmm.
And I do believe that we're just a little fucking speck on this whole thing of time. And I want to, you know, do the right thing. And I do. Yeah, I can't stand inequality. I can't stand it. And hypocrisy and lies. I just can't. Yeah, it just fucking drives me crazy. That's why my podcast is Kill Me Now, because I fucking every day I'm like, kill me now, you know.
And you've recorded about 400 episodes of that show? More?
Oh my God. Since 2000, when did I start? I think I started in 2015. My mother was still alive. She's on the first few episodes.
Wow.
Yeah. So April of, it's almost 8 years, April.
Well, mazel, that's amazing.
Gracias.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on Essie Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
On your website, and I don't know if you want to edit this or add to any of this, but you know, the hyphens that you sort of list are comedian, actor, writer, podcaster, coach, and advocate. And I feel like advocate is such an important thing, especially with what we're talking about, right? But I feel because, you know, we are queer Jewish people and whatever else, we are, our existence alone is a protest, is advocacy for people.
And, oh, yeah. That's but, why I, oh, sorry.
No, no, please.
No, I just, mean, when I am in the clubs now and I mean, I was never like this before, but when a comedian says I'm Jewish on stage, I mean, it means more now than it's ever meant before. And, wild. You know, I know that people tend to think, I can't wait for you to see my show.
I can't wait either.
I can't wait. I think that people might think, oh, we're overreacting or we've been through this mm-hmm. since the beginning of time. Where the fuck else can we go? We came here and we went to Israel. Where, who's gonna fucking take us? And it's not, I'm not being, I'm not talking out of hyperbole.
No.
It's, this is the truth. We are 0.2% of the population of the entire world.
Yet we run, shows.
Right, we run everything.
We run, you know, everything.
Why are there Jews in showbiz? We were cut out of every other fucking thing, so we started show business. Why are there Asian people in certain industries? Why are there Italian people in certain industries? Why are other immigrants in certain industries? Because we were all shut out and had to find a way to make a living. And shut the fuck up. Shut your, if you have never had to, I say this often, if you have never had to march, or if you have never had to have someone stand in front of the Supreme Court to fight for your equality and your dignity and your basic human rights, then you're entitled. And shut the fuck up. This country is a melting pot, and you kicked out the people who are already here, you fuckheads, and you don't want everyone to know about it. Oh my God, it just makes me so goddamn angry.
Of course.
And you bring these people over from Africa who, against their will, and treat them as three-fifths, not even three-fifths of a person.
No.
And they built this country. Mm-hmm. It's so fucking infuriating. Okay, sorry.
So, no, please, this is what we're talking about. I mean, I think, you know, this is, of course, a theater podcast, but it's a theater, TV, film podcast, of course. Right. But it's more about the person. It's more.
That's why art, these stories need to be told. You know, Norman Lear's shows would never get on television today, but they were so effective because A, everyone watched TV at the same time, but B, people were invested in those characters. They liked those characters. Mm-hmm. And that's the same with comedians, is that you like us because we make you laugh and we disarm you. But we also speak the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we're so threatened and threatening.
Mm-hmm.
Tyrants are very aware of the weapon known as humor and comedy. And why do you think Orange Fuckface couldn't attend the White House Correspondents' Dinner or tried to get the DOJ and the FCC to investigate Saturday Night Live? This is all tyrannical. They're banning books and plays.
We've seen this before.
What the fuck? Oh, okay. I talk about this in my show, but I'm going to tell you now.
I love it.
In 1934, Hitler passed the Treachery Act, which made telling or listening to an anti-Nazi joke an act of treason, punishable by imprisonment or death. This is in my show, but you're going to hear it again.
I love it.
And it was because the cabaret people and the comedians were speaking about what was really happening in Nazi Germany. So they engaged the public in humor, and that weakened their propaganda, the Nazis' propaganda. So he passes this Treachery Act where you're murdered if you tell or listen to an anti-Nazi joke. Okay. That was in 1934. 1 year before that was when Hitler started banning books. So if you think we're not repeating history, you're fucking wrong. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I mean, what you are doing with your show right now is a big fuck you to Hitler, because you are spreading that truth. You're spreading that you're spreading that perspective.
And all Hitler wannabes.
Oh, man. I really genuinely thought for a second, like, there were no Nazis. Like, growing up, I genuinely was like, yeah,
I know. First of all, when I was growing up, no one knew what other people's political leanings were.
Right.
We all came outside and had barbecues and everyone engaged with each other. It wasn't so divisive and polarized. It was a different time. And now we have social media is to be blamed for a lot of this.
Mm-hmm.
News was vetted, you know, entertainment news,
which is what Fox News is.
It's entertainment. It's not a real news station. And these fucking idiots believe that shit. Read a goddamn book before it's banned.
People on our side, and I'm saying, you know, our side.
I know.
They don't even know that Fox News
lazy.
Is not it's so wild. I'm like, it's literally not vetted news. It's not accredited news. It's not news.
It's not news. It's so entertainment.
Wild. What I can't even believe is, like, with those text messages getting leaked out and stuff like that, with when they were like the you know, the texts that were
right.
You know, that were just shown, not even leaked.
Fucker Cunson. Yeah.
I'm like, they don't even believe in it. They don't even believe in it. Yet they are on camera. How could you have no conscience? How could you have no, how could your ego be
ignorant?
You got to be so privileged that, like, you can't even care. Like, can you imagine not caring like that?
No, I cannot, number one. And number two, the dumbing down of this country is you're reaping the benefits of that now. That we have elected officials who are so fucking stupid. That we have, we are the greatest country in the world, the most powerful country, and our kids are not safe going to fucking school. But you don't want drag shows where they learn how to enjoy reading, but you're fine with them having drills where they hide under their it's a sick, you know, Golda Meir said that whole thing about, what was that? There'll be peace in the Middle East when they love their children more than they hate us. And there'll be something here when we love our children and our future more than we love our guns. And it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. And they also hate any kind of learning or other or not white or different. You know, what about your fucking ancestors, you motherfuckers?
Okay. Just had to get that out.
They don't. In true multi-hyphenate form, I believe, and I think multi-hyphenating is by definition very Jewish, right? I say there's four questions, right?
Too. Right.
When people are like, it's like Passover, and I write this in the book, and I go, if you're thinking about adding a hyphen to your identity, right? Because people are like, oh, I'm an actor, producer, mother, hobby, you're listing all of these things that, like, that can get confusing. Like, four questions, right? Does it bring you joy? Do you get paid for it? Is there a paper trail? And do they cross-pollinate? And so those are the four things that I say ask yourself when you are understanding if you are a multi-hyphenate. So when it comes to your advocacy, like, how does your advocacy boil into your show Off-Broadway? Yes, I can say that. How do you feel like you are contributing to your advocate hyphen? How do you feel like you are communicating to the world around you? How do you feel like you are making a difference to the show?
Well, I think the show, you know, and it's always been my MO, is that laughter is the most palatable way to get any point across. So I have the gift of that, but I also feel that it is a call to action. And the reactions that I have gotten from people after the show, I don't read the reviews, but I do. People are, like, very affected by the show. and they are, it scares them. And they say, I laughed and I cried and I was scared. And it's really just the blatant truth, this show. But also, you know, it is, I think it's a call to action for people to, you know, and that's what activists and advocates do. They get people to, you know, you talked about laurels, to say, hey, people, we got to do something about this. And I think it does that. And in a very entertaining and thoughtful way.
Yeah.
And I did, you know, I asked my girlfriend, my lover, Elisa, to read the reviews and just go, you know, don't tell me anything. But the one thing she did say was that each reviewer, something different affected them in the show. Mm. So it wasn't the same thing for each review. It was like they connected with something else. And that's what multi-hyphenate is connecting on different levels and different ways and different means of communication.
Yeah, it's so true. I cannot wait to, you know, see your show. And I've had comedy is really interesting because I grew up with Alan Sherman, and Alan Sherman is a huge Mel Brooks and Alan Sherman, and Alan Sherman is a huge inspiration to me. I mean,
I love Alan Sherman. Yeah,
I once for a documentary I was working on, I once met a guy that was in the Fig Leaves Are Falling, which was,
oh wow,
my ringtone for the longest time when my grandma would call me was, every time you take vaccine, take it orally. Yeah. As you know, the other way is more painfully. I love it. And I'm actually trying to do an Alan Sherman show at I need to write it, but at 54 Below. And which would be really fun, really bring back that supper club sort of feel, show up in the tux.
I love that stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It's tux, supper club, really cater to the audience and really, you know, make some new, you know, parodies, stuff like that. But I grew up with Mel Brooks as well. And Mel Brooks, you know, taps into some moments in his movies that, you know, they're Blazing Saddles, right? Like he really pushes the boundaries there. And, you know, I feel like this generation is very serious. Yes, my generation, I think I was born in 91, so like, yeah.
Oh god.
I know, I'm
such
sorry.
A baby.
My generation is not as serious as the next generations, and you understand why, because there's so much happening in the world that needs fixing, of course, but that doesn't mean that we can't be funny. That doesn't mean that we can't.
That's exactly it. We can't survive as a human race without laughter. It is a baby laughs instinctively without knowing anything. Laughter is this book. It kept us alive. It is so important. The prisoners in the Holocaust were making jokes. It was their only way of feeling human. It is the biggest coping mechanism and the biggest weapon. And it is so important for us to evolve and as a human race. And we're not going to be a human race if we keep silencing people. Especially smart people and people who are trying to make you think.
I feel the safest in environments. And one of my closest friends and I had a very interesting conversation about this where she felt the complete opposite. I feel the safest in spaces when no one's safe, when no one is safe when it comes to humor.
It's equal. Everyone's equal. That's total equality.
And exactly. And that's when I feel the safest because like I think in those moments, we all take off the armor and we become human. And that's why, that's what makes it so scary with Trump in the what
and
you were talking
lying.
About before, about how he didn't show up to the dinner. because he can't take the joke.
He doesn't even get the joke. He has no, and every tyrant, Putin, there's comedians jailed and executed. There's a comedian who was murdered by the Taliban 2 years ago, an Afghani comedian. Other countries jail and murder their comedians. This is not a new concept. Look at Putin. This is, you know, what was Mark Twain's quote? Under the assault of laughter, nothing can stand.
Wow. I just, you know, we need to relearn how to laugh.
Oh my God.
We do.
And it's not about you. No one's thinking about you when they write their material. Everything's not fucking about you. It's about what is the comedian trying to say? Not what did you hear? What triggered you? What word don't you like? Listen to the whole thing. Context, nuance, intent. And also, if you don't like a comedian, then don't listen to them. If you get offended, then move on with your life.
Right.
Ugh.
No, I get it. I get it. And, you know, but I mean, it's so interesting because it's like, if we were to have like a conservative comedian start.
They're not funny.
Exactly.
That's
the
thing. There's no funny in them.
Right. Because it's based, because comedy is based out of truth and love. And.
But also it's based on looking at things from so many different perspectives.
Right.
It's about thinking. It's about, there's no dumb comedians. It's about looking at something. It's a surprise. A joke is a surprise. It's marrying two things together that don't belong together. It, you know, conservative means smaller. It means smaller.
Smaller
means
views,
Right. I'm not going to open my mind and look at this from this many different perspectives. I can't even hear the joke. I can't even understand it. I have no self, awareness. No self-awareness. Yeah. You have to be aware. And you have to be aware of other people and society as a whole. And all those elements, not just you and your fucking wants and needs. That, you know, there used to be public servants. Now these people are just out for themselves.
Yes, of course.
And they're fucking money.
And that's, you know, it all kind of ties into multi-hyphenating, honestly, because the first chapter of my book is, it's not about you.
Right.
It's because multi-hyphenating.
Oh, then you're going to love my show.
I can't wait. But it's true. It's not about you. It's multi-hyphenating is about world building. It is about, and that's why this podcast, I try to make it as funny as possible too, because like
you have to,
everything is so fucking serious, especially after this pandemic. You know what I mean? It's like everything blew up in our faces, and how else can we heal? We have to laugh at it. We got to laugh at it.
The best way to heal.
And with each other. Anyway, Judy Gold, you are the literal best.
Oh, thank you. I can't wait to see you. When are you coming? Do you know?
I'm going to email about tickets shortly, but you
look at my face.
I'm coming.
All right, good.
I promise. I don't want to miss you. I love you.
Okay.
But we're going to see the show at 5090s 59, and it's running till
April 16th,
the day after income tax. And so make sure you get.
Thanks for that.
You're welcome.
My father was a tax attorney.
Reminded you.
Yeah.
And so make sure you get to 5090s 59 and sit and see Judy Gold starring in Yes, I Can Say That. Also buy her book. And where else can we find you? Social media? What about your podcast?
Social media. I'm at Judy Gold, JEWDYGOLD, because I'm Jewish. JudyGold.com is spelled the normal way, JUDYGOLD.com. So yeah, you could just follow me. My podcast is called Kill Me Now. It's wherever you get podcasts. I've had some amazing guests. It's 8 years old, and I don't know. That's it.
You're the best. Thank you. Thank you to Broadway Network. And thank you for listening. Subscribe, comment, do all that good stuff. Follow on social media at The Michael Kushner or at Dear Multi-Hyphenate. And let me know what you thought about. And I'll probably do that outro later. Anyway, bye.
All right. Bye.
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com, and of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway, and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.